This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football. Energy drinks. Beer. More football. Welcome to Bink at Night.
Welcome to Bink at Night, Jay Binkley. Rock-o! Hey, don't worry about my voice. My voice has been gone because of that title game.
Yeah, I mean.
No, the divisional round game yesterday. Don't mind it.
I could hear Binkley literally screaming from Raytown. I was like, Binkley, would you shut the hell up?
Ugh, jeez. Man, it was insane.
Trying to watch this with my mom and you just won't be quiet wherever you were.
It was insane. We have the national title game going on right now. LSU and Clemson. And I will say this. Yesterday, you saw the dawn of a new era.
Oh, yeah.
You saw Pat Mahomes, the fear that he strikes. That's been the talk today. No matter what your lead is, he can come back and he can beat you.
Unreal.
I've heard the Titans talking about it, heard the national media talking about it. Everybody is fearing what we saw yesterday.
I've had friends from all over like the country. I met from college hitting me up like, yo, your quarterback is the best one in the country. Like, this is the guy. And they are so, so right.
Well, the bottom line is you heard the hot takes. Like Skip Bayless, you name it, was talking about Deshaun Watson being the guy. He has the toughness, the intestinal fortitude. He's the one that's tough and can come back. And I'm like, man, you saw Mahomes.
Right.
He came back from that dislocated knee, and he wanted to play. He waved off the cart, and he wanted to play.
He walked off the field. That's crazy.
But you saw the record.
Oh, of course.
I mean, just the records. The first team ever to be down 20 and then win by 20. I mean, it's amazing. And Pat Mahomes, the youngest quarterback, to do what he did. It was absolutely, positively amazing what Pat Mahomes was able to do. Not only that, the Titans are worried about it. Everybody's talking about it. I loved what they were saying in Houston, and we'll bring you that just a little bit later. But Trez Paylor was on the Trez Paylor Show. You can download that on demand, 610sports.com. And he was talking a lot about Pat in the confidence. And this is something Trez has been talking about. But that confidence with Pat Mahomes.
What did I say leading up the whole week, BK? I said that this was an over-my-dead-body game by Mahomes. Well, that's what that looks like. 321 yards passing, 53 rushing, 5 total touchdowns.
The answer to every question is Mahomes.
Yes.
Like, the answer to every question is Patrick
Always.
Mahomes.
Yes.
And you said all year long, and you were resolute in this, and you continued to say it no matter what the question was. You, whenever asked, is this team a Super Bowl contender? Yeah. You said, if 15's healthy in January, they're a Super Bowl contender.
And I told
Period.
You.
Period. End of story.
BK, and I told you, it was because, like, I heard stories about how irate he was at the AFC Championship game at halftime, promising to put up 30. He actually did it. And, like, the way he prepared for this season was proof that he wasn't, like, just okay with winning the MVP. He was really pissed off about that AFC Championship game loss. So, I put my faith in him because I know what his competitiveness is. And the most important thing, BK, his teammates do too, and they believe in him.
And you could hear it after the game.
Yes.
Everybody you went up to, like Frank Clark after the game, thank God we had Patrick Mahomes, said it multiple times.
The most honest quote ever. Said it twice, right? Like, but here was the kicker. Not just thank God we had Patrick Mahomes. You know what he also said? Because if we didn't have him, I don't know if we would have came back from this. Guess what? You know what this also does? I talked to Anthony Sherman about this. And please go to Yahoo and read my story.
It's fantastic. It's one of Trez's best columns, and he writes a lot of good ones.
Please go read it out. I need that corporate click. But I asked Anthony Sherman about this because I talked to like 5, 6, 7 players, and they all mentioned. I asked them, like, how'd you guys not get down on each other? Because I'll tell you this. I've been covering this league long enough to know when things get bad in the NFL – players start sniping at each other.
You saw it on the other side. When
yes,
things started
do.
Going south
yes.
on the Texans,
That's
they
right.
did start sniping at each other.
And guess who else? Coaches start sniping at players, too. To a man, all those 7 players told me we didn't have any of that. And I'm like, why? Like, everything's going poorly. Everything, you guys are in football hell right now. Why not? They were like, we stuck together. We believed in each other. But I think it's deeper than that. And Anthony Sherman, who's an honest guy. Like, he'll tell you what he thinks, you know. But he told me, he was like, I was like, why were you guys able to do that? He was like, Pat makes it easy. We know that when we have him, we can come back from anything. That is the value of an elite alpha franchise quarterback. And honestly, and I'll probably write this at some point, maybe this week, or, but this is real here. If you are the fan, if you are a fan of a downtrodden franchise in the NFL, the Lions, the Browns, the Bengals, what Mahomes is doing should give you hope that there is an out from this football hill. Go get the elite quarterback. I don't care how many draft picks you got to do. I don't care how many times you got to try to get. Go get the elite quarterback. You can end your football nightmares. It is that simple in today's NFL, but you got to find them.
So there you go, Drez right there talking about Pat Mahomes. And the one thing about it was he's got that killer instinct, and I think we all saw that.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you don't want to play against this guy, and I think it served the NFL on notice. I do.
Absolutely.
I think the whole thing put the NFL on notice that this guy can't eat your heart out.
And I think the stuff that Skip was saying about Deshaun Watson having that killer instinct, I think he's totally right. But to put it up against Patrick Mahomes' killer instinct, there's just some things you don't do. There's some comparisons that don't need to be made. Deshaun Watson is a winner. Patrick Mahomes is like the greatest winner ever. Like so far, last couple of years, he looks like he could really be that guy moving forward.
No question. I just look at what Mahomes did and how he put everybody else on notice, especially all the hot takes that were out there, like Skip Bayless talking about Pat Mahomes, that it's Deshaun Watson. Who's the guy still standing? It's Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes is that guy still standing in the NFL. Not only that, could it be a legacy-type game for him? I think so. I think when you go out there and throw 5 touchdown passes, it hurts you. It helps you exponentially.
Absolutely.
What he did. But I just look at the game, and putting the NFL on notice is where I see it with Pat Mahomes. And you should hear what some of the Texans are saying about Pat Mahomes. You should hear what the Titans are saying about Pat Mahomes. They cannot talk about Pat Mahomes enough. And I loved hearing what Trez said because he's been talking about that. And he's been talking about Mahomes having this killer instinct and this attitude. Not only that, the giving them confidence type thing that he does. But was this a legacy type win for Pat Mahomes? That's the question. Here was Trez talking about that legacy.
Yesterday, Trez, is the type of game that legacies are built upon.
Yes.
You go early in a career, and that's where you make your name, right? So the reason that I bring this up is because early in Peyton Manning's career, it took him too long to get that ring. And so he was labeled as a loser, and he couldn't get it done, and a choker. Then I look back the other day, and he actually, in the first 5 meetings against Tom Brady in the playoffs, had more wins against Brady than Brady did. But it didn't matter. That's not where the legacy comes from. It's ultimately what you do to be able to go get
that's
the ring.
Right. That's right.
When you have a game like that, in that situation, with what's on the line for this team, seeing them as a legitimate Super Bowl contender and the night before the Ravens going down and even more of a Super Bowl contender because now you get to host the AFC Championship game at home, that's how you become one of the greats. That's how you early in your career are remembered and already thought of as this guy will not go down. This guy has the quote-unquote clutch gene. This guy has what it takes regardless of what kind of a position he's in. This is what Ben did early in his career. This is what Russ did early in his career. It's what Brady did early in his career. And now Mahomes has an opportunity to do
it. And there's another step to it, too. It's epic what they did yesterday. It becomes legendary when they finish the damn job. Finish the job. If they win the Super Bowl, that win becomes legendary. That win becomes in the first graph of his football, epilogue. Like, it's right in there, right? And when that type of win, I'm the Hall of Fame voter for Kansas City. They win the Super Bowl. That kind of win is so great, so legendary. When it's my turn to get up in front of the room, in front of the 47 other voters, you know what I get to say? Stand up. I nominate Patrick Mahomes and sit down. 2 seconds. I don't even have to give a speech because they know what he means. That's why that's special. But they got to finish the job at some point. They got to win a Super Bowl with Andy Reid, with Mahomes, if not this year, then next year. But you're right. Tremendous building block for legendary status.
And the one thing about it, too, is what do you think about Pat Mahomes and what he's been able to do? Two straight trips to the AFC title game. Two straight. This is something Tom Brady and the Patriots did since 2010. But who's the team that's in back-to-back AFC title games? So when you keep putting yourself in these positions, Rocco, you eventually knock down the door. And all those people that wanted to play the Ravens over the Titans, I'm not one of them. Taking this team and going to Baltimore, even though it's a very good road team, let's face it. Yeah. They had 7 wins on the road. That's the most. That's the tied for the most they ever had, except for 1966 when they only played 14 games.
Good year.
But the bottom line is, not in my lifetime have they done this. But they're a good road team. But to have it at Arrowhead Stadium, and I get it. You know, the record at Arrowhead's not as good as it was on the road. It's just not.
It's not. It's weird, but it's not.
But the bottom line is, where do you want to play? Start the tradition now. You got Mahomes now. And when all these playoff losses happened at Arrowhead Stadium, you did not have Pat Mahomes.
No.
Like, that's the one thing that you didn't have. You didn't have a guy that's going up to all the people on the sideline saying, one play at a time, one play at a time. He showed his leadership. Not only did he show his arm, he rallied that team, and they all talked about it. Frank Clark, Travis Kelce, they all talked about Pat Mahomes after that game. They talked about his leadership ability. Even Tyreek Hill, that's my quarterback, is what they said. That's the guy we want leading us.
That's what 30 other teams in the NFL say the same thing probably when they think about Patrick Mahomes. We would love to have a guy like him, and they want their scouting departments to go out and find that guy. Problem is, they don't come every 10 years.
But the bottom line is they set notice to the rest of the AFC. Forget about the AFC West. The AFC West already knows what they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Reid has dominated this division, 27-3 since 2015. They can't beat him. Chiefs average over 20 points, margin of victory. Now, I will say this. I was running some numbers for the Tennessee Titans before the show. Let's look at how good this team's actually been. The Tennessee Titans averaging 31.5 points a game since that Chiefs game.
Wow. So they've arguably gotten better since they defeated Kansas City.
Yeah, since that game, Derrick Henry. And keep in mind, he had one 100-yard game before that Chiefs game. That was it. It was all like 3.9 yards. What happened to
Derrick Henry? I had him in fantasy, I know.
What happened? Why'd he turn in? But the Chiefs turned him into a monster. 188 yeah. yards, 159, 149, 103, 86, 211, 182, 195. He set out one of those games. In the postseason, he's averaging 5.9 yards per carry. He's the only running back ever to have two games over 180 yards.
And made it look easy.
Now, but since then, since those 8 games, Rocco,
okay,
1,286 yards, 6.3 yards a carry.
Oh my gosh!
And Frank Clark even said after the game when he was talking about it, he said that he actually started thinking about Derrick Henry in the third quarter.
Of course he did. Did you hear the way he talked after the game? Of course he did.
Yeah, I mean he was letting it fly.
Hey, he was spitting facts too.
But that's what they are.
Oh yeah.
And you know what? Brian Tannehill joined Terry Bradshaw is the only two quarterbacks that throw a touchdown, throw less than 100 yards in back-to-back postseason games.
That's
this team is all about Derrick Henry. All about him.
I don't blame him.
But the dude's a horse. The guy got up to 20 miles an hour at 6'3", 250 pounds. It's ridiculous. Like, you just don't see athletes like Derrick Henry.
Yeah, there's a guy on the text line last night during the extended postgame show who asked, would you rather box Mike Tyson for a round or tackle Derrick Henry for 4 quarters? Honestly, now I think about it more, I don't know what the difference really is.
And I know Tannehill's, had a decent year, but you want to put the game in the hands of Ryan Tannehill.
If you're a Chiefs fan, you do. Because if I'm Tennessee, I'm not looking forward to the game coming down to Ryan Tannehill executing 2 fourth quarter drives on his back. That's just not how I think the Titans can win this game. No offense to him. They want to extend him and whatnot, but no.
Well, Derrick Henry set out 2 games ago against New Orleans. He set out that game.
Okay.
And because of the hamstring. It was sandwiched between those Texans game, the New Orleans game. And he set out those games. They lost that game. This team also started out 2-4 until they really found their identity. Their identity is pounding the rock. Derrick Henry's a free agent after this year.
He's going to get such a bag.
But that's what all this team is. He's handing the ball to Derrick Henry. When he was in high school, he carried it 58 times in one game. He's the all-time leading rusher in high school.
We talked about that a few weeks back, and that, I mean,
he looked the part back then, and he still looks like that high school kid who's just bigger than everybody on the field because we've watched tape on that. He just still looks like that guy. How do you? There's no game plan to really stop Derrick Henry. You can come up with stuff, but it's going to take a huge effort from anybody in the league, especially the Chiefs.
Here was Frank Clark after the game.
Man, to be honest, man, I was thinking about him in the third quarter, man. But to keep it real, you know, I was thinking about him in the third. I'm like, man, that boy run that ball 35 times a game for 200. I say, we got to think about that.
He's already thinking about him. National championship game getting started down. I know the mega cast has all these. They have the coaches channel, you know, on ESPN2, or Gary Patterson's going to be a part of that. I've watched all that. And I always come back to the regular broadcast.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing like the regular broadcast. I love this game, though.
I wish I could listen to it.
Two undefeated teams. Not only that, you have Clemson going for 30th win in a row. Trevor Lawrence will be the number one overall pick next year.
You think so? Over Joe Burrow?
Well, No.
Oh, next year, sorry.
Joe Burrow's this year.
That's right. I knew that.
Trevor Lawrence is a true sophomore.
That's.
And he himself.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, Kelly Bryant was undefeated before Trevor Lawrence took his job.
Mm-hmm.
But Trevor Lawrence has never lost. He's 25-0 as a starter.
Man,
it's a fantastic game.
It is. God love football.
I still have LSU in this one, in a close one. I can't discount Clemson. All they do is win.
Of course.
It's hard to not count on Clemson.
Complete team.
But Houston, how about this? A.J. Hinch and Lunau, their GM, were going to be suspended for a year. They went ahead and fired him anyway.
Yep.
They've got a ton of problems in Houston, and they hate Kansas City. They come back by the Royals in the postseason. Yesterday, the meltdown. But I never felt like Houston had that game. I just didn't.
You're the only one here in this room.
No, but here's the thing, Brock. They didn't dominate that game. It was given to them.
Oh, yeah. But it takes so much to,
you know, like 24 to nothing. I know, but Tyreek Hill, them off punt, all this. The Chiefs were giving it to them.
It's not like
the Texans were going out and taking it. That first touchdown where Charius Ward,
yeah,
blown coverage. But I never felt like Houston. That was the frustrating part. Because I never felt like Houston had control of that game. But
course,
you know what?
Yeah.
They're melting down in Houston. John McClain, who covers the Texans for the Houston Chronicle, is on with the drive. Bring you that next.
Bing at night.
And welcome back to Bing at Night. Jay Binkley and Rocco.
Save the voice, man. Calm down.
Save the voice. You know, this is pretty embarrassing, to be honest with you.
I don't know. I mean, I think you sound, honestly, I said earlier, you sound like an R&B singer tonight, man.
Yeah.
I think we should let the music ride the whole night.
And save your text. I know my voice sounds like crap. All right.
It sounds like crap.
You know what? I was too excited about the damn game yesterday.
I know.
We're sitting here doing the post-game show. It's fine. Went until I got home. It's like, of all times, this never happens to me. I mean, I play hurt, I play sick, but you need a voice to do this job, unfortunately.
You can talk about that ankle being rolled from jumping up after, like, that first Patrick Mahomes touchdown, but...
But you need it, you know? I mean, I would rather roll my ankle, man. I'd rather tear my knee apart than lose my voice.
Okay, now hold up.
I'm not kidding you.
You're too committed to this.
I would cut off my finger toe if I could talk right now. I'm not kidding. You're the AFC Championship, man.
I feel you. Well, you got
to... This is what I live for, and I'd get this crap.
How much? So you said that, like, you don't lose your voice, right?
You know how much orange juice I'm drinking today, Rocco? I went last night to the store, and I never go to the store to buy that stuff. It's always beer or something like that. I went and bought orange juice.
And seltzer water.
I've been drinking orange juice all damn day, man.
Dude.
I've hit this vending machine up we have here with the Tropicana, you name it. I just had some apple juice, some orange juice. I'm, like, juiced out, man.
You look juiced in there. That's awesome.
Juiced out.
So how much did you yell yesterday, though, for you to actually, like, you don't lose your voice and you lost your voice for this? How much were you yelling? Because I know how much I was yelling.
When you come back 24 points, bro, when you come back 24 points, you lose your voice. And I started to feel it a little bit, but if you listen to the postgame show, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, I did. I saw you yesterday. That's why today is like, what happened to you, dude?
Well, our sister station in Portland wanted me to come on with them this afternoon
and
do a live hit. And I said, sure, because I don't say no. But I warned them. I said, I'm telling you, I sound like crap.
Okay.
I sound like crap. And they said, I've lost about 50% of my voice. I can't talk. And they're even better, man. Just come on and talk. They're like, I just wanted to talk Chiefs. In full transparency, I had Dave McGinnis coming on later. He's the Titans color analyst, former NFL head coach. What I did is I had to cut just his voice. So instead of playing the entire interview, it's just what he was saying, because I sound worse than this.
I don't know, man. I think the people wanted to hear some Binkley in there, but
no,
I don't know.
You don't want to hear it. You, you're, You'll hear, I got to interview Kent Swanson here in a little bit, but I will say this. What's been the reaction in Houston? John McClain keeps it real from the Houston Chronicle. He's covered the Texans for all those years, and he's kept it 100% real. Not only that, I remember Charlie Casserly, when he came on the drive, he was comparing Andy Reid and Bill O'Brien and said, well, they're about the same. Like, no, they're much different. Then I played John McClain. He's like, oh, they want him fired here. They want him fired in Houston. Here's John McClain, the reaction in Houston right now.
It's an epic joke, second biggest in our city's history, and everybody wants Bill O'Brien fired Saturday. They want him fired anyway. O'Brien, he got past the first round this year, and when the Titans won in Baltimore, that put more pressure on O'Brien. Mike Vrabel, his former assistant, Mike goes up to Tennessee. He's in the AFC Championship game in his second season. But O'Brien can, and the Texans have never been beyond the second round of the playoffs. So that put more pressure on them because everybody knew if indeed they won at Arrowhead, they would host the AFC Championship game for the first time in history, and they would have a Houston team in the AFC Championship game for the first time since the Oilers in 1979. So ordinarily, if the Titans hadn't won, I think that losing to the Chiefs would have been easier to stomach, not the way they did, but just if the Chiefs had come out and jumped on them early and it hadn't been a mauling like it turned out to be, people would have accepted that because the Chiefs were favored by 9.5 points. So the Texans go in with all that pressure on them to do what the Titans did in Baltimore, and they jump up 24-0. And I thought, people asked me, I thought, hey, it's fool's gold. Because number one, the only time the Chiefs had to punt early was when they had passes dropped on third down. Otherwise, they might have scored 10 touchdowns. And I've seen it before. I've been covering the NFL now 44 years, and I've seen so many teams get off the fast starts and collapse on the road. And as you guys know, with Patrick Mahomes, anything is possible. So everybody complained around the country and here about O'Brien kicking the field goal to go up 24-0. I said beforehand in the press box to my guys at the Houston Chronicle, they need to kick a field goal, take the points, go up by four. The problem was Hardman having the 58-yard kickoff return to set up an easy touchdown, and then the fumble on the kickoff, which that guy had never done it all year, and that set up a touchdown. And, of course, the dumbest play, in our second dumbest play in our city's history, to one Jerry Glanville called in the playoffs at Denver, and it would be the fake punt, which just made no sense whatsoever. And it backfired, and that really ignited the victory. And so I'm not surprised they won. I'm surprised the Chiefs scored on seven consecutive touchdowns because the Texans' defense had played better than that. But I'm happy for Andy Reid. I'd love to see Andy go to the Super Bowl. I'd love to see Mahomes in the Super Bowl. I think it'd be quite exciting.
There you go, John McClain. They want him fired. Why wouldn't you want him fired?
Why wouldn't you?
Here's the thing. Bill O'Brien even says after the game, we felt like we had to score 50 points. Remember that? Remember him saying that?
Well, you actually had to score 52, stupid.
Well, I understand that. But do you understand what he said? This is him after the game.
Yeah, I mean, 24-0 was a really good lead, like no doubt about it. But I don't think any lead is safe versus these guys, and that's why we felt like we needed 50 points, and we weren't able to do that.
And this is what's funny. It was fourth and less than a one at the Kansas City 13. They already had a nice lead. It was a chance to put the nail in the coffin.
Oh, yeah.
Or, so to speak, but you take these chances. And then in your own territory, you run a fake punt. This is why Bill O'Brien should be fired.
Yeah.
It's nonsense. And, again, when I talk about quarterback-coach combinations, I think about Mahomes. I think about Reed. Get used to this title game stuff. Get used to this stuff. I know when the Royals were in the postseason, you kind of got used to 14 and 15. And when they weren't in the postseason, 16, it sucked.
Yeah.
Well, get used to the Chiefs being right here because they own this division. They're going to get 5 to 6 wins in this division and whatnot. Yes, text line. I know I sound like crap. I sound like Ed Orgeron, they said. Go Tigers. Go Tigers. That's what I'm talking about. Give me some crawfish. Give me some crawfish and some hot sauce. Any suggestions you guys have to get my voice back? I'm all ears, man. I'm all ears. I've actually got tomorrow off because Kansas State's on. So, you know, honey, you name it, I will take any suggestions you have. Trust me, because I've had so much damn orange juice. I'm about to pop. The more I said that, if I could die on the radio, I probably would. I probably would. I've gone through two surgeries and still worked. I don't take sick days. This voice thing is driving me crazy. Let's go to Jackson. What's up, Jackson?
Hey, what's up, man? What's up? Hey, yeah, that voice. But look, I love it.
Location.
I love the energy you have. I love it that you came in to work. You like me. I don't like missing work either. But look, honey and lemon. Plenty of honey and lemon and get you some Halls cough drops, and I guarantee you, you'll be fine. But back to our Chiefs. Man, wasn't that a game yesterday? I'm talking about wasn't that a game. Hey, I am not lying. Me and one of my softball guys, we played for the Kansas City Monarchs, senior softball. We sitting there watching the game, and they were down. I said, we need to get out of this first quarter. If we get out of this first quarter, don't let them score another touchdown and just keep it right there, we can come back. I swear. He turned to me and looked at me and said, Jackson, we're going to score 50 points. What the Chiefs put up, 51. That's before the Chiefs even had anything. Tell us we not Chiefs fan. I told them I've been a Chiefs fan since I was 11 years old. They won the Super Bowl when I was 14. I can't wait to see us get to the Super Bowl because we're going this year and we're going to double back next year.
You know what? I love the enthusiasm, Jackson. I love the enthusiasm. And here's the thing. I even put on Twitter. And I told Pete because I sit here and do the post game with them and I watch the games with Pete Sweeney. And I said, I feel a comeback. So much so I even tweeted it so there would be stamp proof of when I sent it. And I said, this starts the comeback. It's when they first scored. I was like, I just felt it. Because I never felt like Houston was doing enough in that game. I felt like the Chiefs were giving it to them. The Chiefs were just having these mental breakdowns.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, it was Tyreek Hill, you know, fumbling the football. It was the drop passes. It was just mental breakdowns for the Chiefs. And I was like, no. The Houston's not doing anything special here. They had to break down the coverage. Where Kenny Stills got that touchdown. I just felt like Houston wasn't doing anything to grab a hold of that game. I never felt it.
No, not at all. And really, I mean, it felt like if after the way the game ended, if they wouldn't have given up all those points, we would have had a repeat of a 73-0. You know, how funny would that have been?
Oh.
Going back to the Bears days. Like, I don't know. You really don't see that domination anywhere in the NFL. But in the playoffs, that's something that's gonna ride with Houston for a long time.
But it's incompetence with Houston. That's coaching incompetence.
But good thing they're gonna go ahead and let Bill O'Brien just maintain his role moving forward.
You know, I'll say this: Mike Vrabel, former Chief,
mm-hmm.
He's one of the smart ones. He outsmarted Belichick in the first game when the Titans played him. He took advantage of that 5-minute rule where he jumped off sides. He had his punt team jump off sides, false start, do all this. And you know what, Tom Brady? That took a minute 46 off the clock. Tom Brady had 15 seconds at the end of the game. And Belichick was throwing a fit, even though Belichick exposed this rule against the Jets and was smiling about it. Vrabel saw that. He's like, let's do it to old coach. Keep in mind, Vrabel has 3 Super Bowl rings with the Patriots. Belichick wasn't, you know, counting on being done by one of his former assistants. But it was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it was truly. I mean, if it couldn't have been the Chiefs, to knock off the Patriots, to really end the Patriots dynasty, it is about the second most fitting way, in my opinion.
No question. Let's talk to Eric. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Jay. I'm right here. I've got you on speakerphone because I'm walking my dog right now.
Well, hello, dog.
Yeah, hello, dog. I think this might be one of the nights you need to take the Twitter and really let Twitter on fire instead of talking as much as you are because – you know, to the new listeners, the female listeners out there, you're probably, you know, tuning them up a little bit, but all our friends.
No, women don't like me, man. That's not.
I don't know. You keep sounding like this. They might be like, who's that new fellow on the radio?
And then my voice will come back and I'll, you know, whatever.
It will, maybe. You know. Yeah, I told him I just want to try to help you fill some airtime because as much work as you put in. I mean, I'm sure you got some health insurance there to call out, but you won't do that because.
You know, what's funny is I had that LASIK surgery. I went and did that LASIK one time, and I did it at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I had a 10 o'clock show.
And I remember.
I couldn't even read the screen. Then I had hernia surgery the day before, and I came in here just hiring a kite on the painkillers. And my boss at the time said, Jay, I don't know if I can let you on the air because you might cuss. I don't know if I can. I said, no, I'm working. He had to go down to human resources, and they told him if he wants to work, you got to let him work.
And the funny thing is, you came in there today and said, I have no voice. I feel like crap. And he said, no, Jay, you're working.
It's AFC title game week, man. Come on, man. It's AFC title. I wouldn't miss this for the world. I appreciate you calling in, Eric. Thank you and your dog for being on a walk. But I wouldn't miss this for anything. Coming up next, Andy Reid spoke today. And I thought it was pretty interesting what he had to say about Pat. Bring you that and the injury report next.
Bing at Night.
Man, Clemson's defense came to play. This is way too long. You have them almost a month before the first college football playoff games, and you got to wait 2 weeks for this bad boy here. You just never know what's going to happen, man. I know Joe Burrow's looked incredible. 8 touchdowns against Oklahoma, 7 through the air.
But as like such a college football person that you are, I don't understand. Why do they do that? Is it because you have to balance? I know there's something to do with finals week and scouting.
It's all about TV and ratings. It's why they try to squeeze the bowl games out as much as they can, which is kind of taking a little bit away from them, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But, I mean, I guess that makes sense. They don't care about the attendance as much as they care about the TV audience.
It's all about the dollars, buddy. All about the dollars. But anyway, I'm kind of excited about this game. Andy Reid spoke today. He's going to speak a lot this week. It's going to be a different style of week if you're used to Andy Reid speaking every other day. I think he's speaking he's going to be talking. You can hear it live with Cody and Gold, or Gold and Cody. Cody and Gold, that's fine. No media availability tomorrow. They'll talk Wednesday and Thursday is Andy Reid. That's typically when you hear the coordinators. You'll hear them as well, but you'll hear head coach Andy Reid. Andy Reid talked about the Chiefs' injuries.
All right. Don't have any injuries for you. We came out, I think, fairly healthy, so that's a plus. I want to thank our fans. Appreciate them for hanging in the cold there and cheering us on, and they make a difference. Glad we have another home game here. No fans deserve it more than ours, so appreciate them. I thought it was a great team win. I love the mindset of the team. The way they came out, got another big challenge this week with Tennessee, where mindset will be very important in how you go about this week's practice. You know, we started off a little slow, obviously, shot ourselves in the foot, but nobody flinched. Everybody hung in there, got the problems answered and solved, and turned things around, which was important. There was no panic, and you get two good teams against each other, not everything's going to go right. So you got to make sure that you know, you've got a good locker room and coaches that can withstand that and continue to teach. Individuals are some real good individual performances. Frank Clark with the 3 sacks, I thought were unbelievable, especially the one where he chased him around, missed him twice, and came back and got him. That was pretty amazing. And then Kels and Pat and Tyron, they all played good football. I mean, Pat's energy and leadership, really showed in that game. And then he played lights out. So, but anyway, I could go through, and there are a number of people. Offensive, defensive line, I thought played well. I thought the back end had good communication. So when I mentioned Tyron, I mentioned that. He had another chance for another interception there. I mean, he was right in position, and most of those he's gonna haul in there. So, but the fact that he was there, made some big plays down the stretch, I thought were big. So, anyways, with that, time's yours.
So, no injuries except for Chris Jones. He did elaborate as far as Chris Jones. He didn't play, hurt himself in practice, despite what you might have heard. He did hurt himself in practice. Here's what Andy Reid said about Chris Jones.
Yeah, I don't know that right now, Adam. We'll just have to see how he does. This is a day-to-day thing, and it was that way after it happened the other day. So we'll see how he does.
So I expect him to come back, Rocco. What were you trying to tell me that Ed Orgeron, who I do sound like tonight, punched himself in the face before this Clemson game?
I got this little Bleacher Report update that the broadcast apparently says Ed Orgeron punched himself trying to hype up his players during practice. And I think that's hilarious. So he has a cut on his face. Pay attention. You have a better TV than I do. Yeah. But what would the situation have to be for Andy Reid to punch himself in the face to the point of cutting himself to get Patrick Mahomes or somebody hyped up. Like, what would you, 24 points isn't enough.
I mean, he's pretty cool demeanor. He likes to, you know, at the end, let's go Chiefs. That's what he says. But he's got a cool demeanor. I don't see him doing that. I can see Mahomes doing it because they're very excited. Those guys are just so pumped up with energy.
Yeah. Mahomes might really hurt himself.
I mean, I lost my damn voice because I was so excited about that damn comeback.
I know, and you weren't even on the field.
I was sitting there yelling, Blake Bell's Mr. Steele, your girlfriend. I mean, it was uncontrollable, man. That was just, I mean, I've lived here all my life and just haven't seen that. I mean, we did see it last year, but I feel better about this team than I did last year. I do.
I mean, like, part of
it's the freaking Titans coming in. It's like destiny.
I do too, man. We made my dad stay in the kitchen until literally almost the very end of the game because we scored our first touchdown. KC scored their first touchdown when he was in there. Right. There's always that little thing. And I know that, like Terez said, this might have been a legacy changing game.
Yeah.
But man, there's always that little thing. And granted, not playing against the Patriots does help that a little bit.
Well, Dusty, we made him sit in this one seat. The Chiefs are getting rolled. Dusty wasn't in here. He's in the production room.
Sure.
Dirty Werewolf comes in here and we score.
Oh, Dusty?
Literally, we made Dusty sit here the rest of the time.
Oh, he was loving that too.
He's
a good luck charm.
He understood. He understood we're a little stitious. You know what I'm saying?
Just a little stitious.
But you put it this way. Think about this. Fitzpatrick and Tannehill gave you home field advantage. Like, say that slowly. Fitzpatrick and Tannehill. Gave you home field advantage. But regardless, the color analyst for the Tennessee Titans did join me. I cut my voice out of the interview because I can't talk worth a crap. And you can hear what Dave McGinnis has to say next.
Big at Night. Terez Paylor, Tuesdays at 3:30 with The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
You have to understand, like, to me and Pete and, like, Dusty, you're like a father figure to us, man.
I'm still not sure I'm not Dusty's dad, but regardless. Or your dad, Rocco.
Stop it.
Clemson on the board. Trevor Lawrence. This guy had a nice 67-yard run against Ohio State. Man, I'm telling you what, man. Say what you want about Clemson's schedule. They lost the national championship game to Alabama 15-16 season. They won in 16. Bama won in 17. They won in 18. They could be back-to-back national champions, winning three of the last four, being in the title game four of the last five.
Yeah, given that arm talent, I think he might be my dad.
And I talked to the voice of Clemson last week on Rush to Field. It's like, you understand what you're doing. Like, you are now going to be called Alabama, the New York Yankees, New England Patriots, because Clemson will become a good team because they keep winning. Not only that, but they're so damn likable. Just like Ednosa Rubin, defensive tackle, Park Hill South.
Sure.
How about Mario Goodrich, Lisa West? How about the best player on their team, Isaiah Simmons, Butkus Award winner, away from North? Dabo's so damn likable, man.
It's harder to like them when they're taking away local talent from local teams, but man, it's still a team you want to root for tonight. I'm sorry. I don't really care about Joe Burrow. So I care about him, but man, I want to see Clemson win.
So I got this Washington State hat I've been wearing because of Mike Leach.
Yeah. Looks good.
My Mississippi State hat just came in today.
Oh.
Because of Mike Leach.
Naturally.
Support the Pirate.
Not because of Marshall Henderson, I guess.
Let's go to Brian in Kansas City, Missouri. What's up, Brian?
I'm here?
Yeah, Brian, you're here.
Oh, great. One, hot water, lemon, and honey. That'll help your voice out.
I should probably do like Love Line or something like, hey, welcome to the show. Please call in, ladies.
Thank you.
I can do that. Thank you.
And I know this comparison has been made before, but honestly, I love these Chiefs as much as I love. Yeah, and the only way I compare it to is the 2015 Royals.
They're a likable team, man. I mean, just like Salvi and Locaine, you like Kelsey and Mahomes, the shenanigans with Tyreek Hill, like Frank Clark. I mean, this team, the Honey Badger, this team has likable people.
Well, here's why. Whenever the ball was put in play against the Royals, Moustakas, Escobar, Infante, Salvi would come out behind the plate. Hosmer would clean it up at first. The ball was hit in the air. It was Rios, Kane, Gordon would track it down as long as the ball was in play.
Yeah.
I was never worried about it. And that is the exact same way I feel about this team. With Mahomes, with Andy Reid, with Frank Clark, with Tyrann Mathieu. We're going to do it again.
Well, here's the deal. It's 2020. And the one good thing about this is, think about the Steelers. And think about all the pieces that have come and gone. But Ben Roethlisberger's still there, right? That was their pillar. And look at look at Tom Brady, New England Patriots. Tom won a Super Bowl and all the parts around him are gone. He won with guys like Deion Branch. He won with guys like Troy Brown. He never won a ring with Randy Moss. But he won it with a bunch of no-names because the quarterback only stayed there. Guys like Mike Vrabel came and went. But one guy stayed there. It was the quarterback. This is 2020. Pat Mahomes, the young man. You got 10 years from now, he's still 35 or 34 years old. 10 years from now, a full decade, Pat Mahomes is in his prime for a quarterback. It's like Aaron Rodgers. Like, get used to where the Chiefs are because this is not going away.
Oh, I'm so used to it. I mean, hell, from Kansas, and there's no place like Mahomes. And I hate the Wizard of Oz.
Just click your feet twice, my friend. Click your feet twice. But get ready for it and get used to it. That's why I wanted Pat Mahomes so damn bad. This guy's a winner. Earlier today, I got a chance to catch up with Dave McGinnis. He joined me earlier when the Chiefs played the Tennessee Titans, former NFL head coach, former NFL assistant, all-around good dude. Now, I interviewed him, and I took my stupid voice out of it. So I will just kind of go through it. This was about Ryan Tannehill and what he's meant to this team. I asked Dave McGinnis. He's also the color analyst for the Tennessee Titans. But when they made that switch and Tannehill started that first time against the Chargers, he had played a little bit in that Broncos game between him and Mariota. But making a quarterback switch, you have to do it at the right time because you can lose half your team if you don't do it at the right time. Here's McGinnis on Tannehill.
Well, absolutely. You know, Mike Vrabel has done a marvelous job with this football team. Of course, it starts at the top with Amy Adams Strunk, the owner, who's just been fantastic since she's taken this franchise over. And then, you know, with John Robinson and then the hiring of Mike Vrabel last year, I mean, he has put his imprint on this football team. And you know, he was a very, very physical, smart player when he played. That's the way his football team plays. And he made a very hard decision during the third quarter of that Denver game this year to go ahead and bench Marcus Mariota, you know, who was the franchise quarterback, you know, for Ryan Tannehill, who John Robinson did a great job of bringing in here as a free agent. You know, and to have that blessing of an 88-game starter as a backup, you know, was a great move by John Robinson. And to Ryan Tannehill's credit, he came in here, accepted that backup role, ingratiated himself to his football team with you know, there's two ways to get respect in a National Football League locker room. Physical toughness is one, and work ethic is the other. He displayed both of them, and it's been a pretty nice ride ever since.
I love that. Then I asked the color analyst for the Tennessee Titans, Dave McGinnis, about Tennessee being these road warriors, you know, going to New England and winning, going to Baltimore and winning. And here's the question of the hour. How much do they have left? How much do they have left? How much does Derrick Henry, the workhorse, have left? How many hits can you withstand? How many times can you be hit on a football field? Now, I'll play some Mike Vrabel later. He wants the ball. And when he doesn't want the ball, he'll tell you he wants out. But you listen to what Mr. Henry has to say. But they have gone on the road. And you have to wonder, have they played too many playoff games? Is too many for this team? Are the Chiefs catching the Titans at the right time? But here's Dave McGinnis on Tennessee being road warriors.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a very solid team. Their preparation is always very solid. Mike Vrabel keeps very well centered. He keeps their feet on the ground, and he just keeps them focused on what's going on. And this is a very professional locker room. It's a very close and tight-knit locker room. In my 31 years of coaching in this league, I've been on a lot of great teams, and all of them have those same qualities. This football team does. Mike Vrabel was the captain of a three-time world champion team in New England. He knows what it takes to develop a team, and that's what they've been doing. They display a grit and a toughness that's important, but the preparation is so steady and so solid. I mean, I'm fortunate. I get to watch every minute of every practice they've ever had here. Mike Vrabel's been here. And it's impressive. I've coached in this league long enough to know good from bad when I see it. And what I'm seeing here is excellent.
You know what Dave McGinnis told me, Rocco? before he went on, I apologized to him. I say, Dave, my voice sounds like crap, man. I apologize. It's very unprofessional what I'm doing here. No, he's a good dude, though. He's a good dude. He's really nice to me. And
well, if he said that to you, that wasn't fair.
Well, no, but he was cool. But you know what? He lost his voice. He works on like three different radio stations. He does all sorts. He does like, if you go to Titans.com, like the McGinnis show.
Oh, goodness.
He wasn't able to talk, he told me. He said he got 2 days off on the IR because he couldn't talk.
Oh, poor
so guy. He understood what I was going through. I did ask him about what I was talking to you about. The time Vrabel outsmarted Bill Belichick, and Belichick went nuts.
Well, Mike Vrabel was not only a tough football player when he played, but you talk to anybody in that organization in New England when he was a player, they say he's one of the, you know, Scott Paoli said it. He said he was one of the smartest players he's ever been around, and you can tell by the way he played, and you can tell by the way he handled his team. Again, as I said, I get to interact with Mike Vrabel quite a bit here, and you know, I've been fortunate enough. I've been a head coach in this league. I've been an assistant head coach. I've been a coordinator. I've been an assistant. I've done it all on the coaching side of it in the National Football League, and I know good from bad when I see it, and Mike Vrabel is excellent in all those categories.
He definitely outsmarted Belichick, and it was good to see. Now, I did love this. This is where I give Mahomes the generational talent. When I use those words, here's the color analyst of the Titans laying praise on Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes is a generational talent. I mean, and you know, I vetted him when he came out of Texas Tech. I know Andy for a long time in this league. I mean, we're both head coaches in the NFC East at the same time. I mean, I just know Andy. Andy, I've got much, much respect for Andy Reid. And, of course, you know, to be able to vet him and to pull the trigger on him when he was coming out of Texas Tech and knew that he had something special there to develop. I mean, as I said it to answer your question. He is a generational talent at quarterback. He's a special, special player. And it's a lot of fun to watch him play unless you're getting ready to play.
There you go. LSU, by the way, driving. They're at their own 40-yard line. Clemson up 7-0 in this game. This is Loveline. Welcome back to Loveline.
Big at Night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.